Street Missionary. Oh, 12th Street Missionary. 12th Street Baptist Church. Sorry, I'm nervous this morning, okay? I got to do the announcement. So, first of all, Lindsay, Michael, Nate did a great job. Oh, Nate did a great job. He's a positive member of our youth group, and we are just blessed to have him in our group. And didn't he do a good job?
Awesome.
If you are a visitor for the first time in our church today, we want to acknowledge you and give you a card and tell you thank you for being here. So if you raise your hand, one of the ushers will come by. I know you're looking at one another. Raise your hand up. We're not going to ask you anything. Just going to give you some information about our church. So raise up your hand. All right? The ushers will take care of that. Right after the church meeting today, we're going to have our committee meetings. So your budget and your finance meeting and stuff like that will happen immediately after church. So don't forget if you're one of those groups. Our deacons are going to meet on Wednesday night to discuss some of our business that we're going to take part in the next Sunday. So our deacons meeting will be at 7:30, and our business meeting will be next Sunday. Two things that we're going to talk about at the business meeting next week that Pastor wanted me to remind you about is, number one, we're going to have discussion and vote on the assistant pastor description for finding the right person for the job. Then the other part is, part two is, we're going to vote on whether or not we want to form a committee to start the process. So I just want you to be in prayer for that. He wanted you to be in prayer for that so you knew what was coming up. Next announcement. Cards are available for the Easter program, and I know that this song is one of the songs they're going to sing on the program. So please, if you've got family or friends or people that you want to invite, take some cards off of the kiosk today and take them home. Our closing upward program is this afternoon, okay? Ushers, if you're going to be one of those ushers, 5:30. Pastor wants you here at 5:30. Everybody else, 6 o'clock, okay? They're expecting 500 people, okay? So there is going to be a big process in that. So we want everybody to be here to support the kids that are in the Upward program. Matt Hammett tickets are on sale out front at the kiosk by Brian Cooper. And it will be April 2nd at 6 o'clock. Brian also wanted me to remind you, if you are a top ticket salesperson, if you sold the most tickets, you and your family are going to eat supper with Matt Hammett the night of the concert. I think that's pretty neat deal. So get with it, push the sales, sell the tickets. The last thing I'd like to remind you of is please be in prayer for Carol Sager. She's had her surgery this week. Be in prayer for the family as we are striving to find what God's plan is in her life and what's going on there. And the Moyers. They had a loved one pass away this week. We want to be in prayer for that. So let's go to prayer and remind God and ask him to work in our rest of our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us, that the doors are open and you are here, Lord. Father, thank you for the people that bring our music. And Father, you're the one that wrote the songs that apply to our hearts and give us joy. And Father, we just thank you for the encouragement you give us, for the words that lift us up, and for the friends that you put into our lives that help keep track of us every day. Father, would you come into this service and bring those that are lost to a saving knowledge of you. And Father, if there's anything that I can do to be a part of that, I want to be your servant. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now go to your neighbor and meet and greet.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to all hail the power. blessed be your glorious name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today. We pray, Father, for each of those who may not be able to be with us. Keep your hand upon them. We just pray, Father, that you would bless this offering. May it honor and glorify each and every facet of what you do for our lives and our church. Just pray, Father, that you would get the blessing. In your name we pray. Amen.
You can spend your whole life building Something out of nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so out of reach, and you know it might not ever come your way. Dream it anyway. Tomorrow they'll forget you ever sang. Sing it anyway.
Thank you, Terry. Well, you can see that Pastor Stout is not here today, and he has asked me to speak for him, and I find that a privilege to be able to speak at any time. So today I am going to be speaking out of Haggai, but before I get started, just another quick announcement for you guys. Kay and Phil Blees, they're down in Florida right now, but Kay's cancer has come back, and it's come back in full force, and it is spreading like wildfire. So the chances are very, very high for her that it's not going to be recoverable. So before we get started, I want to just pray for her and Phil as they're down in Florida. Before that, the children, yes, the children can be dismissed. Sorry about that. Mr. Ray was nervous. I'm on a whole different level here. No. So let's pray for Phil and Kay. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord, for Phil and Kay as the cancer has come back and has spread. Lord, we just pray that we know that you're in control. We know that you're the great physician, Lord, and we just pray that you can put your hand on them and just comfort them in this time. Lord, we know that you can work many miracles, and you do work many miracles, Lord, and if this could be one, Lord, we just pray that you can put your hand on Kay and heal her again, Lord. Lord, just pray this in your name. Amen. Today I'm going to be speaking on Haggai, and I read this book, and it's a very short book. It's only two chapters, but I read this book, and I said, oh my goodness, this is my life, and how I wanted to share with you how when I read this, how it affected me and how I changed a little bit of my life. But before we get going, there was this boy, young boy, 8 years old, and his father, and they went on a fishing trip. And as they're on their fishing trip, the boy says to the father, I want to go to church. So the father says, okay, we'll find a local church. They find this local church, and they go. Well, when they sit down the pew, the father realizes he did not bring any cash. And the boy always puts money in offering. So he reaches in his pocket. He pulls out a dime, and he hands it to the boy. Well, the offering plate goes by. The boy puts a dime in the offering plate, and the message continues. Well, after the message, the father starts walking back to his car, and he's mumbling to himself. And they get back in the car, and the 8-year-old boy says to his father, why are you so mad? He goes, that was the worst message I've ever heard. He goes, I didn't think it was that bad for a dime. So if you put a dime in this morning, you might get a dime message. But anyway, Haggai chapter 1. If you turn there with me, I'm going to read chapter 1. It's only 15 verses, and then we'll see how this lays out. In the second year of Darius the king, the sixth month, in the first day of the month came Haggai, the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, this speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye are not eaten. You eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in bags of holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came too little. And we brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the words messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. 15 verses. And that 15 verses, when I read those 15 verses, when I was doing when I was going through this book, it hit me a little bit. It made me realize my own life a little bit and where I was in my own life. See, Haggai was sent to encourage the Israelites to continue to build the temple. See, the Israelites, after they came out of Babylon, and they were asked by God to build this temple, this great temple. Well, we see that they started, but then they didn't finish. They got distracted. So we see, by point number one, that the Israelites' priorities were in the wrong place. They were in the wrong place. Verse 4, it says that God's house was forgot about. It says they were in their own houses. But the house that he asked them to build, the temple that he asked them to build, lied waste. The priorities were in the wrong place. Verse 5, he even tells them, consider your ways. He's telling them, look at what you're doing. Consider your ways. Verse 6, what were their ways? They sown much, but they brought forth little. They ate, but ye have not enough. They drank, but were not filled with drink. They clothed themselves, but they were not warm. They earned wages, but they just put the wages in a pocket that had a bunch of holes in it. They were burning through. They were not satisfied with what they had. They were focused on themselves. They lost their focus. They were focused on me, me, me. And when I read this, I looked at my own life and I said, holy smokes, this is me to a T at times. At times, I lose our focus. And we look at this and we look at our lives and I look at the Israelites' lives. How often do we lose our focus? How often do we put ourselves before God? See, the Israelites, they put themselves before God. Why? Because they didn't trust in what God had for them. They started thinking their own thoughts. They're trying to think their own ways. I love Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto their own understanding. The Israelites started to lean on their own understanding. See, they started building these houses. They started sowing these crops, but it wasn't enough. They wanted more. How often in our lives do we want more? How often in our lives are we not satisfied with what we have? We want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to keep up with the neighbors. My neighbor's yard is immaculate. He's out there. He wants that thing green. We have kids that play in his yard. And I'm always over there. Is it okay that he plays in the yard? And my neighbor, I love our neighbors. We have very good neighbors, and they are very understanding with our four kids. And then the neighbor kids down the road, we live where there's a lot of kids down the road, and they always come to our house because we live on a hill, and they love to use our hill for whatever reason, whether they roll down it or sled down it or whatever, and it always goes into the neighbor's yard. But keeping up with the Joneses, he likes his yard green. Well, so often we want to compete with what the world has to offer. I'm going to trip over this. One of my teachers says, quit walking around so much when you speak. One of my teachers right there says, quit walking around. I have to walk around. It's just one of my nervous twitches. But we want to keep up with the Joneses. We're in this world, and we want to flirt around with being a part of this world, of being in the world and a part of this world. And when we do, we lose our focus. The Israelites here, they lost their focus. They weren't satisfied with what they had. They weren't satisfied. They had these crops. Back then, the crops were more important to them than anything. That's the way they survived. But they weren't satisfied with what they ate. They weren't satisfied with how much they had to drink. They just were never satisfied. And I looked at this and I said, that's me to a T. If you don't know me and don't know what I do for a living, I work for the Sheriff Department as a correction officer, but I also wear many hats there at the Sheriff Department. I I am a correction officer. That's my main job, but I also have many other duties. I'm in charge of the Marine Division. I'm in charge of the dive team. I'm on our county's honor guard. I do so much. I coach. I'm a part of the Wings of God. I'm a board member of the Wings of God. I put myself out there to do a lot of things. I do the youth and prepare messages to speak to the teens. I am constantly putting myself doing so many things. And I need to always stop and realize I got to make sure I put room for God. Because if I don't put room for God, then I'm going to start being just like the Israelites. I'm not going to be satisfied with the worldly things. I'm going to continue to want more, and then I'm going to put God on the back burner, and then I am going to lose my focus, and then I have to ask myself, where's my priorities? Where's your priorities today? I put myself in this just as much as I do anybody else. But I want to ask you, where's your priorities today? Is it like the Israelites? Are you getting yourself so busy that you don't have time for God? I ask my kids, I tell my kids, you know, I don't care what you do when you grow up. I don't. Yes, they're in school today, and I really want them to have A's and B's. I don't get mad at them if they have a C because I had a C in school once. I won't tell you the other grades. But no. But, you know, we want them to have good grades, and we want them to go to college. We want them to get good jobs. But I tell them that's not important if God is not the center of your life. And this is what Haggai has sent to the Israelites to say, all this stuff is not important because God's not the center. We need to have God be the center. I tell my oldest, who he's got a couple more years, like I said, I don't care what he does when he graduates. As long as God is first in his life. If he tells me he wants to go to the military, I don't care. As long as that's where he believes God wants him to go. I had one of the teens a couple months ago ask me about his life decisions of what he wants to do when he gets out of school. And he was afraid that his parents would be mad at him because it's not quite what the parents wanted. And I told him, I said, your parents will not be mad at you as long as you tell them you know that's where God wants you to go. If God's telling you to go this direction, I don't see your parents getting upset with you. Finds out it wasn't the direction God wanted him to go. He came up to me a few weeks later and said, throw that one out of the bag. And that's fine. And that's fine because as teenagers, we don't know where we want to go. As adults, sometimes we don't know where we want to go. I'm 38 years old, and I'm just realizing I know where God wants me to go. He hit me in the head so many times, but I was stubborn, and I like to fight back a little bit. And I think I'm a big guy, and I think I could sometimes take him on, and I realize I can't take him on. No matter how many moves I've learned and how many things, techniques I've been taught, there's no way I can take on and win against God. We want to keep God first in our lives. Verse 7, it tells him again, Haggai tells him, consider your ways. And he paints another picture. He paints another picture. Verse 8, he tells him to go up on the mountains and gather wood. They did, but then they got discouraged. They started working on their own houses. He says, go up on the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Build this temple that I want you to build. And God says he's going to take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. Again, they forgot to trust. They started leaning on their own understanding. They forgot to trust what God had asked them to do. Well, then it brings up to my next point is God's punishment. See, God's going to chastise us one way or another. He's going to bring us back. Hopefully, he brings us back. As a believer, he should be bringing you back to him. Well, he brings the Israelites back to him. He says, therefore, The heaven over the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth stayed from their fruit. Verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon all men. See, he brought frustration to men. He brought frustration to the Israelites. They had no water. He caused a drought. The crops were little. And I looked at this and go, huh. Kyla, how many times have I come home and say, what do we do? We can't, our bills are piling up. There's so much going on. How in the world are we ever going to do this? And how many times have I said, well, what? We can't do anything. It's God that's going to be in control. We got to allow God to be in control. The Israelites here, Haggai is trying to tell them that God's not in control of your life. This is why this is going on. You need to get God back to being in control. But see, God, he's going to punish. He's punishing them. He's chastising them. He's telling them, hey, you don't want to build this temple I have for you? Or you don't want to build this temple I've asked you to do for me? Okay. Two can play at this game. Two can play at this game. And I'm telling you, when we fight with God, he's going to win. Which brings me to my next point. After God chastises us, he's there for us. That's something that I will always remember, and this is something I will never forget. He is there for us. As believers, he is never going to leave us. Hebrews 13:5, it says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. As believers, yeah, sometimes we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. That's part of our nature. That's part of our human nature. We're not perfect. Same thing with the Israelites. They're not perfect. Sometimes they lose focus. And if you read in chapter 2, it shows that it didn't take very long and they lost their focus. They started comparing the two buildings, the two temples. They started comparing the Temple of Solomon, which was this great big temple, and it was solid gold. It was amazing. And this temple that they were building was out of wood, and they were looking at it going, oh, I don't think this is going to be glory. But God says it was going to be. He says it was going to be better. It was going to be greater than the temple that they built for Solomon. They lost their focus. Well, God says when you lose your focus, turn to him. Because in Hebrews 13:5, it says, he will never leave us. Point number three, the Israelites, they surrender their hearts back to God. Verse number 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant and all the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. They recognized that their focus was on themselves and their focus wasn't on the Lord, and their hearts were turned back to the Lord. I love verse 13 because it says that I am with you, saith the Lord. Which brings us back to Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always going to be there. I love it because I fall flat all the time. And when I look up, his hand's there to pick me back up, to get me, to dust me off and say, here you go. Get back on the right track. And then which brings me to 14. I like this part too. Because when I read verse 14, I think of a revival. As in, they were dead in their own selves, not alive in Christ, but all of a sudden now they're alive. They're alive. It says in verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. He stirred up the spirit of the people. He stirred them up. I look at this and I'm like, I'm thinking of the song that we learned at camp. The teens know what song this is. And Miss Anika is looking at it. She's like, yeah, she wants to come up and demonstrate it. But the monkey song. I should have the teens come up here and demonstrate the monkey song. But I won't do that to Pastor this week. But they get stirred. They were stirred up. They were on fire to serve the Lord again. They recognized that what they were doing was wrong. They recognized that their lives aren't as important as trusting Christ. They were set on fire. Which brings that song, was it Set a Fire? The chorus goes, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. It's all about you, God. It's all about you, God. I was going to sing that song, but I didn't want Rachel sweating even more than she already is, so I'm not going to sing it. But that song came to my head, and that's probably what the Israelites were singing. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I cannot control. That's what God wants from us. See, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, it says that God, or it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. See, the Israelites were building this temple, this physical temple. But today, as believers, we are that temple. What are we doing in our lives that's building our temple? See, God wants us to have this relationship with Him. That's what He wanted from the Israelites. He just wants to have a relationship. He wants them to trust Him. He wants them to honor Him. Well, God wants the same thing from us. You might ask yourself, well, I don't know how to do that. We build our temple through prayer. We build our relationship through prayer, by reading God's word, by going to church. No, going to church isn't going to make you better just because you're here. But why do we go to church? We go to church because we want to learn God's word. We want to take God's word. We want to apply it to our lives. We want to have that Christian fellowship where we can edify each other. We want that Christian fellowship. We need that Christian fellowship because some of us go into the real world of what the devil wants us to believe. And that's how we lose our focus. But if we continue to rely on each other, the other believers, that's why I love coming to church, because I get God's word and then I get to hear the encouragement from all of you guys. We should be an encouragement to each other, shouldn't we? So often I hear that it's the opposite when people come to church. It's because we lose our focus. It's because we lose our focus. Another way we can build our temple within us is Christian service. There's opportunity after opportunity in this church to serve. Don't be like the Israelites and say, I'll serve when it's my time. No, serve now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next year. There's opportunities to serve every week. There's Sunday school classes. The Sunday school class I'm in, Tom's sweating right now. I love it. It's a Sunday school class that's bringing marriage together. It's showing that God, what God's word says about marriage, what God's word is about, love each other in your marriage. And I love it. It's great. This church is doing good things for God. Be a part of it. Don't just sit back and say, I'll get to it later. Be a part of it. God tells us He wants us to build this temple, and He also tells us if we're not going to build within, he tells us in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. God's going to destroy that temple. He's going to make it harder on those believers that don't want to build within. He's going to make it harder on the believers that don't want to build this relationship that God wants with us. When we took the teens to camp, one of the illustrations that the preacher said was level up. That was the whole weekend of camp, was leveling up. Well, sometimes we need to level up in our relationship with Christ. See, as a believer, that's the first level. When we recognize that we're sinners and we recognize that we need to have Christ in our lives, that's the first level. But there's so many more levels that we can go up. But sometimes we get stuck because we lose our focus. Or we get saved and then we come home and go, whoa, whoa, reality check. I got this going on. I got this going on. The Israelites, they had a reality check. They wanted to make sure they had enough food. They wanted to make sure they had enough drink. But they were never satisfied with what they had. They always wanted more. Well, sometimes we feel that way. We need to have a reality check. We need to make sure and check our priorities. What are our priorities? I'm hoping our priorities is for Jesus Christ. This morning, my wife asked me a couple times, how many times did you go through your message? Did you go through it? And I said, no. I said, I typed it out and I wrote it out and I went through it that way. But it seems like every time I go through it, this is the third time I've preached in a church. But the other couple messages that I went through it. And every time I went through it, God was telling me something different. So I was like, instead of stressing about it, I'm just going to type out what I want my points to be, and then I'm going to let God take control. But God wants us, like the Israelites. The Israelites, he asked them to build this temple. He wants us to build our temple. He wants us to have that relationship. He wants us to trust in him. I love that verse. I read it earlier, Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Because when we start leaning on what we think is right, that's when we fall flat on our face. It's almost 12 o'clock, and I'm glad because I'm at the end of my sheet. I was afraid. I said, I'm used to speaking to the teens, and the teens, they get 10, 15 minutes. I usually talk longer than that because I get long-winded, but I was trying to figure out how I can take a 10 to 12-minute message that I typically do and transform that into a 30 to 45 minutes. You're lucky. You only get a dime 30-minute message. But I want to encourage you today. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk, only you know that. I'm not up here going to judge anybody on where they are in their spiritual walk. Only you know where your spiritual walk is today. Only you know where your priorities are today. But I want to encourage you. Like the Israelites, they lost their focus. They lost their focus. Their focus was on themselves. And I don't know how many times that I've sit and talked with my oldest son and said, our focus should not be on ourselves. It needs to be on God. And when it's on God, he's going to give us things. In Matthew, it talks about if we seek him first, it says all these things will be added unto us. He just wants to be first in our lives. He wants us to have that burning flame within. He wants us to dance around like the monkey song. You guys might get it one of these days and see what the monkey song's about. I can tell you, you will break a sweat. It's fun. But he wants us to be on fire for him. So I encourage you guys to just reflect in your own life. reflect on where your priorities are. Maybe we've lost focus. Maybe you haven't. Maybe some of you are on track and maybe some of you are not. But today we can look at Haggai and we can look at how he was sent to get the Israelites to get back on track. And like I told you in chapter 2, they were on track at the end of chapter 1. They got back on track and then they quickly were discouraged. But God says in chapter 2 that he still says, I am with you. I love that. I love the fact that he will never leave us. He just wants us to have him first in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you how we can use this and how we can apply this to our lives. Lord, maybe there's some that aren't sure where they're at in their lives and their priorities. Lord, I just pray that you work in their lives, that you work in their heart, that you can turn and flip their heart to be on fire for you. Lord, I pray that as the praise team is going to play, Lord, I pray that if somebody is struggling with some things in their lives and they're struggling with the priorities and they're struggling to focus, Lord, I pray that they can come up here and just make it right with you so that when they leave here today, they know right where their focus needs to be. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart.
Again, I just want to encourage you this week to put your focus on Jesus Christ. I want you to have your priorities to be Him first in your lives. It's just an amazing thing. God will work in our lives. He's going to work in our church. He's going to work in each and every one of you as long as He is first, as long as He is number one. Have a good week. You guys are dismissed.